Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Trapper Don.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning, Trapper Don.
So if you're out in the woods and you don't want to be discovered by anyone, what would you use as a food source? What do you go after first?
Oh, me, myself being a trapper, I would go after squirrels, rabbits, all types of small game.
Of all of those, which one's easiest?
I would say maybe your squirrels would be pretty easy to catch.
That seems like a lot of work and then very little meat.
Yeah,
right?
A little payoff, right?
They're super fast, too.
Plus, what are you using if you don't have like all your trapper gear with you?
Yeah, bring us through this.
Just like a nut.
You're out in the woods. You have just a couple of things. That's true. If you saw AJ, would be like, wow, a giant nut.
Right.
He'd have 40 squirrels trying to carry him off into the woods.
Yep, exactly. Right. They love me.
Well, probably if you could, maybe a piece of wire, a shoestring would be too thick, but some string to make little snares and put them on logs where the squirrels run across the logs, or rabbits through a trail where the rabbits are running across the trail, tie your string or wire.
All right, so first you'd have to know there's a rabbit trail. You'd have to be able to identify a squirrel path. Or,
right. And to do
I didn't even know they had a path. So they zigzag across the road.
You have to go underground and infiltrate amongst them and find out where they hang. Yeah, like 21 Jump Street. You got like become part of the gang, and you find out where they run.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know? Pretty much. That's actually part of the trapping, and to be able to survive to catch the animals, you would have to know their habitat.
Right.
And their habits.
Know your food source. Be your food source. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't just place a snare or a trap in the middle of a field and hope to catch something. You would actually have to know where these animals swim or walk or climb on a tree or something to place your traps accordingly to catch them.
Jeez.
So that you would have to know.
Huh.
All right.
That'll work.
So there. I'm out.
Yep. Again. Or you can just go to McDonald's. They throw all the food at the end of the night in a dumpster. Just go there.
Dumpster diving.
Squirrel in McDonald's.
You know, AJ's going, like he just said, you have to go underground and become them.
Yep.
AJ just became a raccoon.
That's all they got to do.
But wait, he just stumbled upon how this kid might be surviving. Garbage.
Yep.
People put their garbage out. You go through it.
Right.
There could be stuff in there.
You go to any McDonald's at the end of the night, and you'll find all
those burgers that no one bought.
Are nicely wrapped up in a bag in the garbage.
All right, that's
Burger
not
King
bad.
Burger King does it. Everybody does
all
it.
All right, so AJ becomes a raccoon. But
exactly
let's just
right.
say you're out in the middle of the woods, and you don't want to come out into civilization.
Right, that's tough. Those burgers are good.
It seems like you got to have some skills to catch a squirrel. Or
right.
Raccoons seem like they'd be better eating.
I would think fish.
Yeah, it's kind of like pork, actually. The raccoon is a mini bear is all it is, and they taste like pork. I've had it. Yeah, so raccoons are good eating. I mean, you could pretty much survive. If you're in a survival situation, any meat, even snakes, obviously fish.
Right. Snakes, too much work for a little meat.
Yeah, really. But when they smoke a snake, it's pretty delicious. The meat.
Yeah, but when you got no meat and you're hungry, you're going to do what you got to do to survive,
yep.
but you also don't want it.
Yep, or bug souffle, one of the two. Yeah.
Bugs. You can do bugs. Worms are good protein.
There you go, see?
Like spaghetti.
Yeah, spaghetti, exactly, yeah.
That'd be tough,
yeah,
but you're right.
You have some skills and a little bit of equipment with you, you know, not much. You'd have the minimal, even if you had a snap rat trap, in your backpack. I've seen that.
But, Don, you're not going to have any of this stuff. Like, just say you're on a reality show and we're like, here you go.
Like Survivor or something.
Piece of wire, can of soup, and a butter knife.
You that's make a dead,
and a lighter.
You make a deadfall, which is with just sticks and a big rock, and prop the stick up where the animal goes for the bait when he grabs a little bait or something, an acorn, and the rock falls on him.
Just like Bugs Bunny in the box.
Right.
Right?
Hey, Don, come in here.
Right. Right.
Hey, I can't see them. I'll turn out the lights.
All right, let's just say, so you squash a squirrel, right, with a rock.
Right.
What's good about that is now you have instant jerky. You don't even have to cook it.
Actually, no. Actually, now it's more like a cutlet.
Yeah.
It's squirrel
been pounded,
cutlets.
Tenderized.
Hey, who wants some squirrel cutlets?
Okay, then what do you use? Do you use the head? Or you get rid of the head, right? There's nothing in there you want. You don't want to eat the brain, right?
I don't want looking at you.
Actually, the brain. Yeah, the brain is good eating on squirrels.
Have you had squirrel brain?
Obviously the meat, but if you were... No, I've never had it. Never had it, but it's a delicacy. A lot of people who hunt squirrels, that they'll fight over the brains just to get them. I heard they're very tasty.
You can have them.
Brains. I guess we shouldn't be surprised, right, with this whole coronavirus thing? That was like bat brains?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Well, I don't know about the bat brains. I'm not eating no bat. That's one thing I'm not eating.
No. China, anyway.
Focus.
All right.
Come back to us, Don.
All right, so squirrel just seems like it'd be tough to prepare. You have to skin it, and then...
Now, do you bread it? Do you make it more
you
like
don't have
bread? Do you make it more like a Diablo or sauce?
Right.
Yeah. You would just get it, put it on a stick and cook it. If you were in a survival situation, the best parts are going to be the liver, the kidneys, and the brains and the heart. There's a lot of protein in that. That's a lot of, like little red meat there. So you want to save those, put those on a little stick and roast those over a fire too, along with the carcass and eat the meat.
Can I say something really quick? Ew.
If you have any survival skills, call them in. We're just trying to figure out how that kid has been going for 5 days.
Yeah.
And, I thought about it. No Boy Scout, no Army training. Nothing.
Nope.
Yeah. So.
Yep. Or Survivor Law, maybe.
So, right.
Yeah.
We have Trapper Don on the phone, but let's go to Chris in Hartford first. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
I was stationed in Louisiana for about... 7 or 8 years, and down there it's called the chicken of the trees.
Yeah. What is
squirrel?
What
squirrel.
Squirrels?
Yeah,
the chicken of the trees.
Right. Yeah, you gotta hear the jingle. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Chicken of the trees. What's the best eating chicken of the trees?
Sorry. And you cut it off and put it on a skewer, and
what do you cut off? The tail.
Yeah, you cut off the tail, cut off the head.
Right. Bone it.
You could skin it pretty easily.
Right.
Pretty good. Barbecue sauce. Real good.
I was going to say barbecue sauce will make anything taste good.
That's true.
Yeah, you can take dog poop, put it on a stick, put barbecue sauce on it.
Don't get
and
carried
it'll
away.
Taste good. Remember when he had sauce just yesterday? No, sorry.
Well, have a good day, guys.
All right. Well, thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you so much.
It's like you guys are talking about dog poop with barbecue sauce. I'm out.
We made a serviceman leave.
Yeah, he just realized quickly.
Yeah.
That he wasn't going to teach us anything.
Assess the situation.
Like,
realize,
there's no potential here for this group.
Cut and run, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Trapper Don.
Yes, sir.
All right, so squirrels. All right, rabbit. You could do the old box trick.
Yep.
Use a rock.
Right.
And a stick and a string.
How about like a deer? Can you like wrestle a deer?
Wrestle.
I don't think you're going to catch up to a deer.
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. Well, you could scavenge a roadkill. If you happen to come across a roadkill, then you could eat for a couple weeks.
Roadkill.
Oh, see that?
You have to keep yourself hydrated, too, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes. Plenty
so would
of
you
water,
walk along
water,
a stream?
Water. Yeah, if you're near the stream, there's a lot of critters along the stream. You have muskrats and all kinds of stuff, beavers.
Right. Beavers. I wouldn't want to get into a fight with a beaver.
Oh,
they
hell
have
no.
Deadly teeth.
Yeah, they do. From the cutting the wood.
Yeah.
They chuck later on.
All right, so I think the first thing I'm going to do is make a walking stick that could work as a club. So
right,
if I get close enough to something, I just bap it in the head.
Exactly, right.
Like a shillelagh.
Right, yeah. Or a person. Right, a
shillelagh.
Or a person holding a sandwich.
I'm going to pop you in the head with my shillelagh.
Shillelagh.
Boonk.
You hit me in the head with a shillelagh.
Well, first, the raccoon would be stunned silent like... Where's that accent from?
Right, shillelagh.
Boom.
Right,
you get him in the head right then.
Get out of my way, you kooky beaver.
Oh, you wait for someone coming out of the subway. You whack him over the head, grab their sandwich.
Oh, he's after me. Look at us.
I make things so simple. You go to McDonald's. Here's a garbage can.
You are right.
You knock someone up with a sandwich.
I'm thinking of all this,
Rambo stuff.
Top level Rambo stuff.
Yeah.
You're like going to McDonald's garbage can.
Exactly, dude. So easy.
That is pretty smart.
Thank you. So I moved to 2 days of survival.
Yeah, I think so.
15 hours.
All right, what else, Trapper Don?
You can always do fishing stream. You can make some fish traps.
We're starting to get a bad cell signal on you.
Are you on the right?
I don't know where you are right now.
I'm right in my kitchen. I haven't moved.
Oh, okay. Right.
Apparently your kitchen did.
I haven't moved.
Your house have wheels? No.
You can make fish traps. You could actually use your shirt to put a couple sticks and a small stream. Make a little fish net and walk up the stream with it and catch small fish and stuff like that.
Wow.
You could survive if you had a little bit of skill.
Right.
It's
there's the problem.
Get a little crackers right there for a little small fish.
Find some grapes, make some wine.
Right, some cornichon. Some cornichon.
A little lemon juice, a little capers.
A little bit. Yeah. Smoke them. Yep. Invite the family over.
Find some wild growing dill.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly right. See? Yeah, a little champagne.
All right. That sounds good.
All set.
It sounds like you should always have...
Me. Come hang with me. If you were in the woods with me and Christine, you guys would be eating like kings. Trust me.
Well, yeah, we'd have to keep you alive.
What kind of king?
Know, that would be my role, keeping you alive.
What kind of king? Here, king. Here, king.
Let's check your blood pressure.
Here, king. That kind of king.
Yeah, no, you do quite well. Christine and I ate a roadkill turkey probably about 3 weeks ago.
Did you hit it? Did you hit it first?
Oh, yeah.
Don't those have diseases?
No, I didn't. I got the call from a customer, and I called... game warden, made sure everything was good to go. Went down, grabbed it, brought it down to my little wooded area.
What do you mean, good to go? What does that mean, good to go? Hey, I'm going to take that turkey on Route 7. Anyone claim that one yet?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good. Saves us a trip.
I'm guessing the wishbone was broken already.
Legally. Like with deer.
Luck ran out.
With deer, you got to get a tag for deer when it's a roadkill.
Oh.
So I wanted to make sure.
How long can it be dead at, you know, let's just say 70 degrees before it's not good?
Yeah.
70 degrees, you're talking maybe 2 hours, if that.
Wow. Because there's a deer on the merit. Go for it.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do it this time of year.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Especially if he's in the sun. But when I had took the breast meat off, this thing was still warm. Within half hour, well, about 45 minutes, Christine and I were eating fresh turkey breast right here in my living room and kitchen.
This is wild to me.
Hold on.
It's not that insane.
But it's not that expensive.
And they had, and they had feathers in their hair and everything.
Not expensive at all.
Right.
Well, she loved it. She was, she never had wild turkey, and it was great.
Oh, wow. Is it, what's it, how would you compare it to regular turkey?
Almost the same.
Yeah.
A little bit darker meat, not as white.
Gotcha.
You know, kind of riffs the same, the pieces, but it was a little bit darker meat, and, you know.
I would think it'd be gamier just because they're not sitting around the farm
all
day.
But who knows what their diet is, exactly.
Yeah, but then he had the urge to run on the road again.
And this is good news. Connecticut's going to be, I believe, the first one, or at the very least, we have the first dog now, part of... an ambulance crew.
Wow.
It's one smart dog.
Really? Takes a pulse? What?
How do I pronounce your last name, Bill?
Schiedinger.
Schiedinger.
I was going to get that one wrong.
Schiedinger, see?
So.
See, I had it totally
like Smith.
Schiedinger. Yes, I had it down.
Bill
it
Schiedinger,
down.
Regional Director for Connecticut AMR South on the phone.
We'll call you BS for short.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on.
So what's this deal with the dog?
So, yeah, AMR and our parent company, GMR, has a therapy dog program since 2016. And the idea is you get a certain type of breed of dog that's hypoallergenic, doesn't shed as much, and you put them through training, first obedience training and then therapy training, to help our EMTs, paramedics, dispatchers to deal with the stressors of the job.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
So, and it's amazing. I don't know if you've ever heard of the canine first responders, Brad, and Spartacus, who unfortunately passed away recently.
But Spartacus,
yeah. I mean, their group is fantastic, and they've worked with us in the past. And you know, we thought it'd be great to have. This is a little bit lesser than what the canines do, but you know, have our own dog available to our crews in Connecticut.
Yeah.
The obedience training, I understand that, but what's the service dog, therapy dog training? What's that like?
So they learn, they teach the dog how to recognize stressors among people. So typically if somebody is dealing with stress and they, you know, they come in, they're acting a certain way, the dog usually will recognize it and go to that person and then just
hump
be
their leg.
Kind of loving to that person. You know,
what'd you say, AJ?
They'll hump the leg, yes.
Hump the leg?
Yeah, because it makes you smile. Look at the dog's going to my leg right now.
Nothing breaks you out of a funk than a dog humping your leg.
Exactly. You suddenly you're not stressing anymore. You're like, this dog's humping my leg over here. Yeah.
I would think that you're trained not to do that.
It also
right?
works for the Heimlich maneuver. If you're choking on something, the dog is like, what the hell's going on here? See? This is a very smart dog you have here.
Right. That's, you know, it almost seems like a natural thing for dogs to know when you're not feeling good. Because what do? They come right over to you. They lay right next to you.
They want you to walk them.
They look sad, too.
I have to poop right now if you're outside in the rain.
They'll lick your face.
They boop the nose.
Exactly, right. They sniff your hiney and your crotch.
Yeah, and this like is a cute one. I don't know if I've sent you guys pictures. If I haven't, I will. Just a cute, cuddly little furry dog, a labradoodle.
Oh, that was
a labradoodle.
I thought that was a driver.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm like, boy, he needs a manscape badly.
Oh, they don't shed. That is a good dog.
Yep.
And they're great. Like, my friend has a labradoodle.
And they're hypnoallergenic.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard not to just... You can't have a conversation with a person,
right?
Because this dog is the best thing in the room when this labradoodle.
And everybody talks
room.
Like this when you talk to him.
Exactly.
Who's that good boy?
The dog's name is Jovi after Bon Jovi.
Really?
Yeah.
Jersey dog.
He's from Jersey.
He's from Sayreville?
Jersey Jovi.
Nice. All right, you can't pump gas over there.
He's got great hair.
Just right. Know that. Yes.
That's right.
He's living on a prayer.
And this is a great time that we got him because, you know, as you know, especially Chaz with your son, you know, we had employees deployed down in New York. So a lot of these employees that are coming back, you know, have and a lot of these employees have been with AMR a while. Some are newer, so they haven't really seen as much. But being down in New York, they worked very hard, dealt with a lot of the COVID-19 down there. So them coming back to us, you know, they're dealing with a higher level of stress than they normally would. So, this is perfect timing to have this dog come into our lives.
It really is. All right. The dog is, his name is Riggs?
Yes.
Oh,
which is kind of a slang term for ambulance.
Oh, see? I was thinking Riggs from, like, you know, Lethal Weapon, Riggs and Murtaugh.
That's
what
I thought, too.
He's a crazy dog. Do you want to jump?
We've been asked
that
a couple times,
Do you want to jump? Let's jump together.
Ah, this is great. How old is Riggs?
So Riggs is just shy of 10 weeks.
Nice.
Wow.
A baby.
That's like genius level.
Cute little puppy.
If you're able to teach, who taught this dog obedience and then the therapy training?
And CPR.
How many weeks was the dog in training?
He makes a mean
No,
gin
so
and
he hasn't done any training yet. So we just got him from the breeder. So now he's going to start. It's about a year's long worth of training. So we're going to, you know, introduce him to all the crews. He can go out in the community.
But wait, why did you introduce him before the training? What if he doesn't pass?
That would suck.
Oh, he'll pass.
Yeah, he'll pass.
He definitely is. Okay. He looks like he's going to pass.
This is a big rollout.
Does he get like
a big chance there, Bill?
Does he get like an AMR shirt and everything too on him or what?
Because there are dogs that don't pass police training.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They're great dogs to have. They're great in every way, but maybe they didn't do one thing right.
Yeah, they become security mall dogs. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Little white socks. They drive on a little white vehicle with a yellow light on it. They become Paul Blart's.
They get a daily Cinnabon.
Exactly right. Hey, you kids, stop that over there.
After the year, there's a test that he's going to take, but we're confident. All the dogs that our company has had have passed. And there's about, I think, another 10 or 11 in training around the country.
And this is the first one in Connecticut?
Yes. Yeah, the first one for us
in
Connecticut.
Cool. You got to have a picture of Riggs like hanging in a fire department, or the ambulance company rather, with the uniform on.
So of course, yes. Right. Yeah. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, oh yeah, we're going to get them all over the place.
Employee the month.
And the great thing is, you know, we told all our local communities that we're willing to share him with them. So any of our fire departments, police departments, hospitals that you know have an incident or need him, we're willing to share him as a resource with them.
Right, I'm your bitch.
I got to tell you, when a dog walks in a room, you know, 99.1% of the people just light right up.
Yep.
Light right up, they forget
nothing
everything
else
they were just talking about.
Yep.
It's all about the dog.
And the dog puts his nose right in your crotch. Yep.
Right. But then it gets better.
Gets even better, yes.
gets even better.
Stops in my hiney, damn it.
You know, you don't think about what the ambulance people see.
Yeah.
They see everything every day.
It's true.
They walk into some bad situations. Yeah. You're on a call for one thing, but you walk into a place and you just, it's tough, man.
Is there a code for the dog when you have to walk it? Like you get a radio in?
Like number one and two.
Yeah, exactly right. The dog's got a 10-100.
And we got a code one.
Yeah, he's got a 5150 hanging on his butthole right now.
Code leash.
Right.
Riggs code one.
Yes. Yeah, code hang a Louie.
He's spinning in circles. We're in trouble here.
Oh, my God. Cone Whittle. Cone Whittle.
So will there be a place for the dog stationed out of?
Well, so the dog will be living with one of our human resources representatives. And then she's going to be responsible to bring the dog to each of our operations in Connecticut every day. So as a puppy, he'll only be there about 4 hours a day until he can build up the stamina to, you know, deal with people on a longer basis. Because each of our operations, you know, we've got a couple hundred people in them.
That's a long day. The
a lot of petting.
Need therapy.
Yeah. It's a lot of petting. Yep.
Dog's gonna be like, oh, yeah. I'm tired of people.
If I see one
I
more
break.
If I see
break.
One more goddamn hand on me, I'm gonna freak out.
Yeah. That's,
stop touching me.
Well, that I always, when I see a dog in a vest, I don't pat it because I don't know if that's bad for its training or.
I don't think you're supposed to.
Never.
Some of them say do not pet even.
Right.
I throw a rust bank.
I think those are the emotional support dogs that people have.
Right.
Like this type of dog, a therapy dog, I mean, his job is really going to be to walk in a room. You know, if we have a bad incident and we have a couple crews there, we usually do what they call like a CISD, critical incident stress debriefing meeting. Get everybody together. We don't critique. We just talk about the call. And this dog's job will be to kind of walk into that meeting and walk around and up to each person in that meeting, let them pet them. And that's it just helps people open up.
Just walking and vomit. Bleh.
Right.
And dogs will do that. Somebody's like, bleh.
You know, the interesting thing is when the program first started with our company out in Vegas in 2016, within a year, they were called into service to the Las Vegas Music Fest shooting in 17.
Oh, wow.
So we had two of our therapy dogs respond out there because we have a big operation out there that responded.
Oh, man. Mm. That's a tough one.
Yeah, man.
So they provided tremendous support out there.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. So when do you think the dog will graduate, Riggs?
They say the training should be about a year. So first goes through obedience training, learns all the commands, how to listen to the handlers. And then once he's done with that, he goes into the therapy training and should be about a year.
You got a cap and gown or what?
Well, you know, that's a good idea. Well, we like that. We'll do that.
Well, now just do a drive-by party.
Hopefully you'll be able to have a graduation.
Yeah, just drive-by party. We'll, you know, beep our horns.
Yeah, hopefully.
Burnouts.
Yeah. Well, when all of this COVID stuff passes, we'd love an opportunity to meet Riggs in person.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, be happy to have him by.
I'll lay on the floor be unresponsive. So.
Thanks for what you're doing. And, you know, Young Chaz couldn't be more proud to be part of the company.
Awesome. Glad to have him.
All right,
thanks,
Bill.
Guys.
Thank you so much.
I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name.
Don't worry about it.
Schiedinger. Schiedinger.
That's perfect.
Schiedinger.
Yes. Right.
Bill Schiedinger.
Right.
Regional Director, Connecticut AMR South. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. I always do this to Joe, and, you know, he knows. He gets it. I gave him an assignment, but we were talking during the break, and I think this is more interesting than the assignment. Well, think about all the theaters are closed.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And they've been closed since when?
I think the second week of March.
Yeah, around the same time the bar is closed.
So how many weeks is it? March, April, May?
Almost three months.
We're not opening anytime soon, right? Or are they opening in Connecticut, I think,
this drive-in. Month? The drive-ins, right?
But think about all the movies. How many movies get released per week, average?
Oh, usually two or three, you know, major films a weekend. And in the summer, more than that.
Right. So, two or three major per weekend, but then maybe a couple more, so like maybe five per week.
Yeah, this past weekend would have been the blockbusters.
Right. So how many movies do you think in all are just sitting there now waiting?
Mm. We know James Bond is.
Right.
That's why it's October
now.
Yeah.
Waiting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
So
James Bond was the first sign that things were changing. They announced they're moving from April to November they were the first ones to do that. They were really proactive. So that's supposed to come out in November.
November,
but that was
right.
going to be the big, that was going to be, you know, a
spring blockbuster.
Blockbuster. Yeah.
So at the very least, we have about 36 movies, right?
Yes.
Right now.
Yep.
36
yep.
movies just sitting there. Why wouldn't the movie companies put these on some pay-per-view platform?
Right.
Charge full freight.
Home
Everybody's
cinema.
Everybody's home.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Flood the market with movies?
Yes.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think some of the ones that they didn't think were going to be blockbusters, they have done that. There's a picture with, I think her name is Issa Rae, called The Lovebirds, a Paramount comedy that they switched from opening in theaters, I think, this month to going right on Netflix.
Wow. Okay.
I noticed that last weekend. And there was a movie with Elizabeth Moss called Invisible Man that was supposed to be a big horror picture.
Yeah.
That's available on pay-per-view, I think, for $20, which to me is a lot to pay for a horror
movie.
But, yeah.
But you get the whole family.
And I'll tell you what.
They'll chip in?
Yeah.
We watched it because we went into exactly that thing where, like, we're home and we're going through the cycle of stuff that we've already clicked over. Yep. Like, I'm not interested. I'll watch this, but not tonight. So Amanda was like, I'm renting this movie. So we watched The Invisible Man.
Was it worth $20?
How was it?
It was all right for me. It's okay. Yeah.
Pretty transparent.
Yeah. But when you're in the moment and you're desperate, you're like, we're losing time here. We've wasted 20, 30 minutes or whatever.
Exactly, trying to figure out
what we're going to watch. All right, let's just watch it.
I guess
it's a creative twist on the classic Invisible Man. Yep. So, like, it's a very technologically advanced guy who's very wealthy.
I would make it a comedy, you know, an old place he can go now. He's invisible and just have the fun with it.
Right.
You know?
AJ, that's good, man.
Yeah.
That's a pretty.
The Invisible Man,
comes
the comedy.
Up with a good idea a week.
I mean, make it a comedy, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Have some fun with the idea of a guy who's invisible.
Right. That was my biggest gripe with the movie. I'm like, you got this guy who's a genius. He can make himself invisible. And the only goal that he's got is getting revenge on his ex that ran away from him. Like, come on.
Yeah. Why make it a mad thing? Yeah, make it a fun thing.
So some folks, some companies are releasing movies that they don't think will stand up. Because there will be a flood and it will be a tough selection, right? Tough to choose.
Yeah, but there was another one. There was that remake of Fantasy Island, which they were showing the trailer for months and months and months.
Really?
That has been put directly on pay-per-view, too. So a bunch of the winter, sort of late winter, early spring movies have been put on to pay-per-view. They don't want to do that with a $150 million production. You know, like Christopher Nolan's new film, Tenet. Is supposed to come out in July, and that's at this point in time they're saying that, you know, because he's a real bug about wanting it to be on movie theaters. You know, he's been very reluctant sometimes to put out videos that are not good of his films.
Yeah.
You know, he's a real stickler. So I think if that opens in July, that'll be a real sign that the big movies are going to start rolling out.
Disney did this with one of their Pixar movies where they just released
Onward. Yeah.
So that was like a $150 million, $200 million movie, and they were just like, well, no one's going. We got it.
It's heading downward, yes.
We'll just put it on Disney Plus because they thought people might buy those subscriptions.
Right. Hopefully upwards.
Yeah.
One of the advantages. Sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
Kids movies, they say, do better pay-per-view because parents will get gathered, you know, the whole family, and kids really want to see these things. So there have been a couple of those kids flicks that have already gone that route, but they don't want to do that for a Bond picture or Wonder Woman 1984, which I think cost $200-some million. That's supposed to open in December.
Damn.
Right.
I mean, in August.
I guess what they have working for them is they're not making any movies now, so they could just pace everything up. Right.
Mm. Yep.
Yep.
No one's working.
You know, they're already talking about not maybe having Oscars this year because half of the year may be, you know, locked out. So it's going to be really weird. And like Toronto Film Festival in September, which launches a lot of Oscar campaigns, there's question whether that'll happen. So everything is up in the air at this point.
All right, well, you've already done your homework assignment for next week.
So you're all set. So you can have a good weekend.
I love talking to this guy. Follow him on Instagram and Twitter. It's Joe's View on Instagram and Twitter. Joe Myers, movie critic. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right,
talk
to you next week. Jazz and AJ News. State police still looking for that suspect in two killings and an abduction in Connecticut. Last seen in Pennsylvania. So he's probably been out in the woods for days and days and days. And how do you survive?
How?
Well, let's talk to the guy who wrote the book on it, 101 Skills You Need to Survive in the Woods, Kevin Estella. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Morning,
good.
Kevin.
What are some basic skills you need to be able to survive in the woods?
Well, I'll tell you, all these basic skills are going to be amplified. At least his stress level is going to be amplified because he knows that he's no longer the apex predator. He knows that people are more than likely looking after or looking out for him. So, I mean, imagine the complexity of having to take care of all your basic needs, your shelter, your fire, your water, dealing with the environmentals, right? The temperature as well as the insects that are crawling above and below him. I'm hoping this guy is going through, I mean, if he did carry out these crimes, I'm hoping he's going through a living hell right now.
Gotcha. So no Uber Eats.
Well, it sounds like he suffers from some mental issues. So we don't know, like, that whole story.
What the deal is.
I'm very interested. And it's a horrible story for all of the families involved.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, I'm intrigued by, how do you run from the law and right. everybody
exactly.
and survive in the woods with really very few supplies? What kind of skills would you need?
Well, right now, he would have to have an amazing sense of edible medicinal plants if he is living off the land. It's too early in the season for any berries, and it's also, you know, about a week and a half past the prime of fiddleheads, and he'd have to be really lucky or really skilled to find morels. And mushrooms, for the most part, aren't the best survival food anyway.
Fiddleheads?
Yeah,
yes,
it's wrong one. Man. Trip out.
What? Yeah. What?
Picturing a bunch of little Charlie Daniels.
Exactly right.
Thrown out of the ground.
Right. Little garden gnomes. Exactly right.
What are those?
Yeah, we eat the wrong mushroom. You trip out.
Right.
Whoa.
AJ had a theory,
and it's not a bad one.
It doesn't sound like a bad idea. Like, go to a McDonald's after they close and go into the garbage can.
Yep.
It's phenomenal. It's a great theory. I mean, you think about what this guy. I mean, he's a college student. I've
yeah.
been to college.
They live on Big Macs.
Yeah, you live on Big Macs, and you sort through the change bin of your car, in, or maybe like what you can find in the cracks of your couch, and you're ordering pizza at 3 in the morning. So he's used to eating fast food. He's used to living a certain way. And
exactly.
We're creatures of habits. So I believe that the law enforcement that would be chasing him would definitely be casting a pretty wide net over those places where he could access food like that.
Exactly.
So do you think that that's what law enforcement would do, would ask his roommates, well, what did he like to eat?
Or stick out every garbage can behind McDonald's.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we're talking about the principles of manhunting, you know, and I'll preface this by saying that I'm not considered a tracker. I will never label myself as a tracker, but I've taught a lot of legitimate law enforcement manhunters, and I've trained with a lot of good guys in my career to speak pretty comfortably about the topic. And I'll say that this guy, he definitely is someone who they're trying to identify, obviously, who he is. They're trying to, you know, trail him, but they don't want to be too close and let him, you know, act out. You know, because one of the things that we say with the tracking industry or the tracking world is, you know, he is following a certain pattern, but then what happens when he breaks that pattern? Like, he hijacked a car, he kidnapped a woman on the New Jersey and took it all the way to the New Jersey border, but then what made him break that pattern of taking a vehicle and then getting an Uber? You know, so that's something that, you know, is worthwhile, you know, investigating. And again, maybe this is just going to provide some of the listeners some comfort, maybe a little bit of understanding, but these guys are the best in the business, and they are going to, they're going to find this guy. The potential locations of where he could be, it's getting more and more narrow as time goes on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know the family lives in the area, and it's a hard thing to
yeah.
think about, but we might not find him alive, but if he is alive, right? He's very good.
So
right?
far,
to,
yeah.
To not get caught, and you have the best. You have the FBI
yeah.
in Pennsylvania and in the surrounding area.
Well, Pennsylvania, though, FBI, and, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's Pennsylvania FBI.
He could be living with the Amish right now. Who knows?
Yeah, there's a lot of land in Pennsylvania.
There you go, see?
Yeah. But what would you do? So would you go to the garbage can and live the raccoon life like AJ?
Yeah, you'll
or
see.
Would you try to live off the land and stay in the woods?
Personally, what I would do is I would try to blend in as much as possible. You know, I know that people have been scouring all sorts of his digital footprint online, and I know that in the past he's run marathons and he's used a bike to, you know, work towards bringing awareness to, like, the Sandy Hook victims. So I would, believe, if I were someone like him, my best way of getting around would be wearing a mask, a COVID mask,
yeah.
where people wouldn't recognize my face.
Oh,
and if
wow.
I'm familiar, familiar with using bicycles, I mean, imagine how far you could travel in one day on a properly equipped bicycle, which they're not exactly the hardest items to steal.
No.
So that would be something the police would want to put out there in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
If you had a bike stolen, let us know.
Exactly, yep.
Right?
Yep.
Wow, I didn't even think of that. Right, the mask.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to make it hard.
Yeah.
Harder than it
but
would
keep
have been.
But keep in mind, he's also apparently 6'4 and 240, 260 pounds. And, you know, if the average height of the American male is, you know, between like 5'10", you know, 6 feet tall, he's going to stand out. He's literally going to be 4 inches taller than the average guy. So those people tend to get noticed.
Yeah, you see the cycle dudes are always like those thin guys with little bicycle shorts and whatnot. So he'll definitely not blend.
Hmm.
And be a big guy on a bicycle. And you can't find shorts that size. You know
this
saying?
Bike is too tiny.
Exactly, right.
Right.
Yeah, his helmet does not fit right at all.
Yeah, he'll look like Josh Brolin in Goonies.
There you go.
Yeah.
See? Right.
I'm a little kid bike.
Right.
That's bananas.
Yep.
Bananas,
yeah.
Well, in your book, 101 Skills You Need to Survive in the Woods, rattle off a few, like the top. If you were to teach us three things, what would we need to know?
Access water, number one.
Okay.
And here's the thing. I mean, even if you were to find horrible drinking water, something that would cause you to explode from both ends, you can keep drinking that water to keep hydrating yourself. You'd just be living with a really miserable condition.
Right, bazooka life.
And maybe
that's
what
interesting.
Doing.
Right. So,
you know,
pond water over
standing,
not drinking.
No.
Right. So, I mean, no matter what, whether it's running or not, it could be tainted. You know, and even if you are exploding from both ends, you want to keep drinking because otherwise you're going to get dehydrated and die. So I would simply say, you know, you can access water through the dew on the ground. You can get it from grapevines this time of year by, you know, scoring the bottom of the grape. It'll actually fill up a cup in no time.
Wow.
There's a lot of different ways of finding drinkable water at this point. Shelter would be another. You need to take care of what you're sleeping inside of, over and under. Just remember IOU. You need to take care of something to protect you from above, something to insulate you from below, and something to keep you warm while you're inside. Another thing would be
let's just say you're out in the woods.
Ahead.
You're out in the woods
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What do you IOU with?
The clothes on my back, number one. He was last seen with just a pair of shorts and a T-shirt on, so he's definitely experiencing the wiggles. Right? You got to remember the W's: the wind, the wiggles, the water, and the Widowmaker.
Wiggles. I think that's a TV show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not those wiggles.
Okay.
We're talking about like the no-see-ums, the mosquitoes, the black flies.
Gotcha.
You know, the ticks. I mean,
the no-see-ums are bad. I had my first encounter with those a couple months ago. They're bad.
Yeah, and Connecticut's got plenty of them. But he's down in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. He's also got to take into account I have a few friends that are down there. Big black bear population.
Yeah, Bearville.
There are predators that are out there.
But they don't eat people, right? Because we'd hear about that.
It's spring season. Every bear is an individual. I mean, you have to remember that generally they don't. But if this guy is off his medication, hypothetically, if he's running out of medication, if he is in an altered state of mind, he may not even realize that he's doing something dumb. We may never see this guy because he might stumble into something that he shouldn't.
Gotcha. Mm,
yeah.
Become bear chow.
Yeah, I hope it comes to a safe ending.
Yeah.
And I think if this guy's still alive, he's brilliant. I mean, he hasn't been trained in this.
Right.
You can't have a cell phone because they'll find you.
Right.
And you're in a state, well, we don't know where he is now, but you're in an area where you don't know the lay of the land. And every smart law enforcement, you know, and if they called in someone from Langley to track, I mean, it's not unheard of. They put someone in the car from Langley, one of the top FBI people, to track you, and you haven't been found.
Right. When it involves multiple states, it feels like that's certainly something they would consider, at the very least.
So this guy's good.
There's a lot of questions
alive,
that are left unanswered.
He's very good.
So drink water, make shelter for yourself, and bears are not cuddly. Catch it.
Okay. Right. Those are the three things.
A big teddy bear! I must hug it!
Don't use a bear as a carpet.
Exactly right.
Right. unless it's dead.
Right. I know you want to put your bear feet on their fur, but
ha, bear feet.
Aye.
So what else? Give us one more.
Well, something to just think about, something to ponder, is he right now currently driving himself or pushing himself from Connecticut? Is he being pushed or is he being drawn to somewhere else? Why is he traveling south? Is there a destination that he's heading to, or is he simply running and he's in flight mode, he's in reaction mode? So that's something that I've been considering myself. He seemed to move very quickly, I mean, about 165 miles southwest from his location. And I'm just wondering, does he have a final destination, or is he going to be in this perpetual flight mode? And hopefully it's the latter, right? Because if he's in this perpetual flight mode, he's bound to make mistakes versus going to a place that he's familiar, where he would know the lay of the land and he'd be able to blend in a little bit better.
Yeah, well, the taxes are high here, so they'll drive him out. Yeah.
I feel like if they had an idea of where he was going, we would have heard that in the media, because they'd have to warn local law enforcement.
Right up ahead.
And
heads up.
That would probably come out. Some reporter would be listening to a police scanner somewhere, and we'd get an idea of where they think he's going to go.
Yeah.
And he's probably smart enough to know, you know, if I have aunts and uncles and friends in different states, they're going to be watching those spots.
So go to the neighbors instead. Good idea.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to read this book, One Skills You Need to Survive in the Woods, because in the 6 o'clock hour, we learned that AJ might do better than we thought.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, I'm definitely not going to eat snakes.
I'm going to write a book called Eat Garbage.
Right. Living the Raccoon Life.
There you go, see?
Yeah. All
Trash
right.
Panda.
Yeah. Kevin, we'll link up to your stuff at WPLR.com and 959thefox.com. Thank you, brother.
My pleasure.
Jazz and AJ News.
All right, well, the good news regarding coronavirus is hospitalizations are down 65% from April.
Yay.
So, good. Let's keep it going.
Yeah.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Hartford Mayor Bronin announced a social media challenge yesterday, and he's on to tell us about it. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good, thanks. You've been having a lot of great ideas lately. actually, let me rephrase that. You've been having great ideas since you were elected mayor, but now we're hearing about them more.
That's so kind.
Yeah.
look, this social media challenge is, you know, we've been talking a lot about coronavirus, but this one's about the census. And the census obviously matters a huge amount. I mean, it decides how much federal resources you get back. And cities like Hartford and a lot of the other Connecticut cities are traditionally hard to count. So we're just trying to get the word out every way we can. So one of the things we're doing is we launched a social media challenge. If you make a video, it can be up to 60 seconds, talk about the census, the fact that it's safe, it's easy, and it matters to, you know, making sure we get our fair share in Connecticut and in Hartford. If you get the most likes on that video in 2 weeks, you know, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever, you get $1,000 gift card to your Hartford store of choice. And there's second and third prizes too.
Whoa.
But we're trying to, you know, spread the word, and hopefully while people are locked down, they can have some fun and make some good videos.
Cool. Okay. So a couple things. One, you have to be a Hartford resident.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And then two.
But hey, if it goes beyond that, and people start making some good videos to help spread the word, then that's good too.
Okay.
Okay.
But what if you have? So it's based on your likes, or you're posting it to a Hartford.
Whatever you get on whatever social media platform you're on.
All right. So what if somebody in Hartford has 30,000 followers? But
then we
the
want
guy
them,
with 100 followers. Has the best video.
Right.
It's a pure popularity contest.
Gotcha.
Okay.
If we get that person who's got 30,000 followers to do a video talking about the census, then, you know, that's a good thing.
Okay, I get you. So that's a win.
Okay.
Yep, you get all in right. front of more eyes. But, you know, you might end up with a dog.
Yeah. Just saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Look, we'll take this any way it comes. I mean, the bottom line is it really does matter. You know, this is it decides how much you get for education, for health care. You know, we're talking about our COVID response. Some of the funding that we're going to get from the federal bills will have to do with population.
Right.
It's also about political representation. So people got to step up. But there's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of fear out there. And the other thing is, usually you have this army of census takers who are out there physically knocking on doors, and they're not doing that right now.
Right.
So we've got to try to be creative about getting the word out and letting people know that it's safe and secure and it's easy to do. You know, you just go to my2020census.gov and you can fill it out right there.
Okay.
Cool.
I got mine in the mail, and then I had get this back by this date. It was already past that date.
Jury notice?
So I didn't look at it. I put it in a pile of bills and, you know. I put it with my jury notice.
All the stuff to ignore.
My tax bill, all that, in that pile. And then I look, I'm past the date. But you're not past the date. You could still go
You're not past the date.
Right.
Yeah, they pushed the date back. I don't think we would have been past it right now anyway. But they pushed the date back to October 1. So we've got some time right now. And hopefully we'll still be able to get folks out there knocking on doors. But in the meantime, you know, everybody says, what can I do to help right now? In all seriousness, spending 5 minutes to fill out the census is probably one of the biggest things you can do to help your state right now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Gotcha.
And, you know, you're coming up with these great ideas to get all this buzz, like crushing the ATVs, although it broke our heart.
Yeah, dude.
We were talking to Mayor Elliker in New Haven.
I wouldn't take that bike.
Man, can you come up with an idea?
Like, right.
That would get me that much press on this stuff? Like,
well,
you gave it to him.
I gave it to him. I said catapult them.
Yeah.
Into the harbor.
I said give me one.
Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah. Right.
Flying over the city wall.
Give me the best dirt bike you got and I'll take it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, we haven't crushed any more since we talked last, but we see 13 more over Memorial Day weekend.
So, oh, yeah? What time should I come by? I have a pickup.
We're keeping it up.
Yeah. And you're not going to sell any of those, right? You just destroy them?
Well, some of them were stolen, and we return them to their owners.
Gotcha.
And then we'll take a look at them. If we think that there's something that's worth the investment of time and resources to sell, we'll do that. Otherwise, we'll catapult it or crush it or do whatever.
Or I can stop by my pickup, try to pick up one.
I love it. You know, I want to follow up on this social media challenge with the census. If you get some good ones, please send them our way. We'd love to play them.
We will. And I, you know, appreciate you spreading the word. Your listeners got to have some good ideas out there. So
right.
if they make their video and they tag you guys too, maybe you can give them something extra special.
Right. That's great. What are some of the elements? Just how important it is and go to what
the
website,
the three basic things are just to say, look, it's easy. You can do it online or on paper, but it's easy, it's secure, and it's important. That's the three things.
Okay.
And, you know, the hashtag Count Hartford.
Gotcha.
All right, hashtag Count Hartford. Okay, good. We'll have AJ make one up for you. Send it over. See if it gets posted anywhere. All right. Mayor Bronin, thanks. Great work.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk with you.
Thank you.
Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin. Mm-hmm. Oh, why didn't I ask him? Why doesn't he come up with a parody song?
Right.
He's a singer.
Man, yeah.
He can sing, yeah.
Right.
Right.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Box.
Hey, how are you doing?
It's a box.
The woman, she's a professional dog walker.
Professional dog walker?
Central Park Karen. The woman
that's
in the park.
That's why she lost her dog.
Oh.
Oh, no, that's why she lost her job.
Well, I'm supposed to walk dogs on a leash, right?
Is she really a professional dog walker? Because you would,
maybe she's aspiring one.
Phil's saying no.
It was her own dog.
Oh.
She adopted the dog. They gave the dog back to the adoption agency after
that.
Nope, so she wasn't walking someone else's dog.
Who were they? Her and her husband?
Her dog, right?
No, they took the dog from her. The adoption agency.
Yeah. Right.
They said,
saw the video.
You're unfit to have the dog.
Yep. And they said, you're not keeping the dog.
Yeah. Wow.
Cops
no
get
dog,
dog,
no job.
Yep.
Well, she should have the log on the leash. The dog on the leash.
Right. The log on a leash.
Yes.
Yeah.
A couple of beers.
So when you walk the dog, you gotta have the leash on the dog, right?
That's important. That's what they call a leash. Yep.
AJ, you missed it. That is the greatest flubble. He may have out-flubbled you.
There you go. See?
It was almost a slow motion one.
See,
yeah,
we needed a new king, so. Yeah. My leash.
Yeah. It sounded like a French menu item. This is a log on a leash.
Yes,
right.
A log on a leash.
Yeah. It sounds tasty.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Box.
Better than a monkey on a dish.
Thank you for saying dish.
Yes.
A monkey?
You know, it's funny. You guys missed one I had earlier. I said never move from a spitting vehicle. And you guys missed it. I'm like, yeah.
I've been just letting it go.
I don't know. I think you missed that one.
You had one where you were trying to say something. It was like, and I looked at Chaz like, eh? Really? And then we just let it go.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I was laughing out loud yesterday putting together a Flubble page.
Uh-oh.
Like a newer one.
Oh, really? I have a new one? Cool. Well, so yes, in case the pregnancy comes out false, you know, you have to need condoms. I can't fuck something. I sound like he just beat me up. I'll ring myself on that one. Thank you very much.
You heard exactly what AJ would sound like.
Right.
That if was he took one punch from Liam.
Post-fight interview.
No,
not much for him just shaking my hand. I am epic.
Yeah, when I say newer, I mean ones that weren't on the original page.
Right, yeah, yeah. Even the emergency medicine. Yeah. Since 45. One day, Phil's going to explode. You know, that was actually written by somebody else and recorded by some guy named Arrow. Oh, man.
It's like you buzzed yourself wrong.
I became the go-go gophers. Yeah. You know, that was actually written by somebody else and recorded by some guy named Arrow. Oh, man.
Can you Google gopher freak out?
Yeah.
I love when you say it and you go, oh, man. You just know what's coming.
Yeah, my life being hell, yes. Because when I flubble, I just see three very happy faces in the studio.
I would just love to see some kind of a computer imagery of your brain synapses
like a brain
firing.
Scan. Yeah.
Because they're just misfiring.
Can we do that? Like,
Can we do that?
Bright light, they're probably little puffs of smoke.
I picture like little sporadic like sparks. Like, like little,
do we have one?
Fire squirrel in the air.
I'm about to get out. Really get there. Colonel, come to the prisoner. The prisoner.
Colonel going to capture us without them guns, without them swords? How him do?
Little plan. Give it a tackle. Give it a tackle.
So that'll make Chaz. You know, that was actually written by somebody else and recorded by some guy named Arrow. So, oh, man. Damn. That would make Chaz the other Indian.
Prisoner.
So then Chaz would be the other Indian.
That one clip has a flubble and then you saying blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Boy, that is totally you.
Yeah, that was like the equivalent of like,
I say it. It was pretty brilliant. Yes.
For 35 kids, that's only three. I make life fun. Do you get a Guinness with like an umbrella and a fruit? And I have no idea.
I love when you give up. That's my favorite.
Yeah, no one to fold them.
Yeah, whatever.
Yep. There are times to say, screw it.
It's like a word scramble. Yeah, you know?
It's all those cars.
Yeah, welcome to my life. Do you get a Guinness with like an umbrella and a fruit? And I have no idea.
You're right. It sounds like he was behind a bunch of cars in one of those parades.
I was.
Maybe that's the cause.
We have the ultimate pickup line. Guess how long it's been since I had sex. I can't talk about it.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.